Good to be meeting here, and I know a lot of you folks out there watching tonight that were streaming this, you'd like to be here too. I understand that, believe me. And we pray that before too long we will be able to meet once again as a church. Just God knows. He knows exactly the day. He knows the hour. He knows when we can do that. But until then, we'll do this. And just pray the good Lord will bless it and give us what we need here tonight. Turn with me in the book of Isaiah chapter 8. The 8th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, Jehovah Saves. Written about 700 B.C. Isaiah. Chapter number 8 and verse 1. The scripture says, "Moreover, the Lord said unto me, Take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Mahershala Asbaz." I guess that's somewhere in there. I butchered it. That's the longest word in the Bible. And it's the name of a boy. "And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record Uriah the priest, Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, Call his name Mahershalahashbaz. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria." Father, bless your word now, in your holy name. To give you just a little bit of the historical context of what you're reading, Israel had a lot of enemies. Babylonians, the Assyrians, Syria, Egypt. They had enemies that would, if they could have, they would have annihilated Israel. At the time, here in Isaiah chapter number 8, when I say Israel, we have two Israels. We have the northern 10 tribes called Israel, then the southern 2 tribes called Judah. What's going on here in the 8th chapter of the book of Isaiah is what we call a civil war. The northern 10 tribes are warring against the southern 2 tribes. In other words, Israel in the north is warring against Judah in the south. Judah in the south has a king. His name is Ahaz. God is trying to communicate to this king what he needs to do and where he needs to put his trust. This is important because it unlocks a lot of great truths for us in the context of where we live today, in what we're having to face day in and day out. In other words, the 8th chapter of the book of Isaiah has a lot to do with trust in Jehovah. If you notice, it says in verse number 1, "The Lord said to me, Take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen." Now, what he means by this is, I want you to make something that is huge, large, where anybody can read it. Notice, a man's pen. It's not going to be written in some sort of a hieroglyphic form or some high, scholarly form. It's going to be written at a level where anyone can understand it. Notice what he says in verse 2. "He took unto me faithful witnesses to record." So what we're having here is God says, write this on a huge scroll and then take witnesses when you write it, so that these witnesses later on will be able to testify that this is a prophecy and that this prophecy will come to pass. So we start out the 8th chapter of the book of Isaiah dealing with an issue like that. Jump down to verse number 6, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 6. "Forasmuch as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloah that go softly, and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son." In other words, one is the king of Syria and the other is the king of Israel. And say they rejoiced in them. They refused the waters of Shiloah. They refused the water, therefore, that was given from underneath the Temple Mount, that came from Jerusalem, from Moriah, from the holy Mount of God. Judah's problem in the south is that it was putting its trust in the Assyrians instead of in Jehovah. And so Judah they trusted the Assyrians to come to their aid against Israel and Syria. So you can see the context of what we're dealing with here in the 8th chapter of the book of Isaiah. The Lord sent his sweet, soft water for them to drink. It is the waters of Shiloh. This can be found in the New Testament. It is the water of Siloam. The word Shiloh means sent. Notice carefully, it is softly. This is the way the Holy Spirit works. He comes softly into the heart of the believer. And when he does, he convicts you of sin, of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This Siloam shows up in the book of John, chapter number 9. If you've read there, you'll see where the Lord took some spittle, made mud, put it into the eyes of the blind man, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went and he washed, and the Bible said he came seeing. The dirt represents the curse that God's put on this earth. The curse goes on to the eyes of the man. The man is blind because of the curse. Represents all of mankind, blind. But when he washes in the pool of Siloam, the water that is sent, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God, it washes the curse away, and he's able to see. This is what God's telling them here in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 8. He said, this water will wash away your unbelief, and you will be able to see what the prophet is going to do. But of course, they refused that. Notice what it says in chapter 8 and verse number 7. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory, and he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. Here's the problem. Israel, when I say Israel, of course you understand I'm talking about Judah, had made a covenant with the devil, because Assyria here in Isaiah chapter number 8 is a type of Satan. They had made a covenant with Satan. You see, when you make a covenant with the devil, he may walk with you for a while, but the time will come when he exacts payment. He will turn on you, and when he does do that, you're finished. So what he did, he took care of the two northern, he took care of Israel, and he took care of Syria. But that didn't stop him. He came on into the land of Israel, and notice what it says in verse number 7, verse 8. He shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to his neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. That name Emmanuel means God with us. God was with the two southern tribes of Benjamin and Judah. But this Assyrian is not going to be stopped very easily. The Bible talks about the Assyrian in the Old Testament, and literally he's a type of the Antichrist. So what you have here in Isaiah chapter number 8 then is a picture 700 years before Christ that projects itself all the way into the time of the second coming of Christ. Here's something to remember about the Bible. The scripture, when it prophesies something, it will pass. It will come to pass exactly as the Bible says, but it may not be filled full. Sometimes that scripture has a far reaching application, and that's where we need to understand that as we study the Bible. So he passes through. Chapter number 8 and verse number 12, say ye not a confederacy to all them that to whom this people shall say a confederacy, in other words, a conspiracy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. You see, their fear of the northern tribe, 10 northern tribes of Israel, and Syria, their fear was of Assyria. Assyria, the Assyrians were mean. They were the kind of people that would take you and impale you on their spike. And they have reliefs over there where they have pictures that they have drawn of people on a spike. They were very cruel people. So when the Assyrian is coming, it causes the people to worry, and they fear them. But the Lord told his people in the south, don't fear their fear. They are fearing something that you don't need to fear. Now, when I look around me, we see a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear in this world right now because of insecurity, because of uncertainty, because of not knowing what's coming. One of the greatest fears of humanity is the unknown. That is a terrible fear, and that's where we are now. And nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. And that's the issue. But it's not the main issue. The main issue is, who has the future in his hands?
Who will raise the son tomorrow and put it to bed tomorrow night? There's only one that can do that. And that's what the book of Isaiah chapter 8 is about. It's about this Assyrian now that is going to come into the land and he's going to take, and they're already afraid in the north, and he's not going to stop with them. He's going to come all the way to Jerusalem. They made a league with the devil, but the devil's going to break it. And so they fear, they quake because of the power of this enemy. And so they conspire together. They have a confederacy. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 12. Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. But look what he says in verse number 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. In plain words, there's nothing on this earth worthy to fear more than your fear. You should fear God. I know a lot of people say, well, we should respect God and honor God. Well, I understand that, and I do, and I hope you do too. I don't know, there's something about his holiness, though, that causes me to fear. I love him, I believe in him, and I trust him, but I fear him. And the fear of the Lord is a good thing. The fear of the Lord will keep you out of a lot of trouble. If you'll notice what it says right here in verse 12, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Sanctify means to honor his holy name by regarding him as your only hope. Set him apart. Let the people know that your trust is in the Lord. Your trust is in Jehovah. Our trust tonight is in our Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says all judgment has been given unto him. When God the Father at the cross at Calvary made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, then he handed to him all judgment, and that judgment is given to the Son. If you read the book of Revelation very carefully and closely, read the book of Revelation and you'll find out that the judgments that are passed down upon this earth are coming from the Lamb of God. And the reason they're coming from the Lamb of God is because God the Father is satisfied. He extends an olive branch. So now the controversy is with the Son. What are you going to do with his Son? And that's the issue. So the Bible says here to sanctify him. Look at verse 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, to both the houses of Israel for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. A sanctuary. This is an inviolable thing. In plain words, once someone has put their trust in God, they have taken hold of the type in the Old Testament of the horns of the altar. Nothing can violate that. Spiritually, when you take hold of Christ and you're trusting the Lord Jesus, Satan cannot break that bond. He cannot come between you and the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter number 1, verse 50, and Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and he arose and went and caught hold of the horns of the altar. 1 Kings 2:28. Then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled to the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold on the horns of the altar. That is saying this. In the Old Testament, they knew that if they could get into the sanctuary, take hold of the horns of the altar, that there they were literally, the horns of the altar represented the strength of God. And they were taking hold of the strength of God. And they were bowing themselves to that, and they were humbling themselves. And they were saying to the Lord, I'm weak, Lord, but you're strong. I need your help. I need thee. And they take hold of the horns of the altar. In this case, it didn't help either one of them, because they had violated this sanctify the Lord in your heart, because neither one of them had done that. Yet they were appealing to a great blessing from God. And this is what happens to an awful lot of people. They're like that today. It's only in a time of need that they cry out to God. It's only in a time when they feel it. Need that they cry out to God. That's our greatest weakness. And that weakness is when the only time some people call upon God is when they feel a need. Folks, we don't have to feel a need. We need him every hour. John 15 says, without me ye can do nothing. You can't serve the Lord on how you feel. Your feelings will lead you astray and mess you up big time. We've got a beautiful scripture here, though, in verse 14. He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. Both houses, you see. The house of Israel in the north and the house of Judah in the south. He'll be for a stumbling block, a rock of offense. For a gin, that's a snare that catches a bird. And for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, this gets personal. The reason it gets personal is because you stumble over the truth if you don't embrace the truth. You say you believe the truth, but what you say from your mouth, if it doesn't match what you have in your heart, you'll stumble at the hand of God as He begins to move in your life. Because what you're saying to the Lord is, Lord, now I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. And if God doesn't do it, then you get mad at the Lord. And that's the problem. A stumbling stone. He becomes a stumbling stone to anyone who will say they love the Lord and say they fear God and say they want to serve the Lord, yet they maintain complete control over their lives. I hope you're not there tonight. I hope not. Look at chapter number 8 and verse number 18. Chapter number 8 and verse number 18 of Isaiah. Look what it says here. And get the text opened up. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Isaiah marries two women. He has three sons. Each one of those sons has a particular name. Each name represents some particular thing as it relates to prophecy and God's relationship with His people. One of them I've already read for you. That is Maher Shalahashbaz. That name means hasten to the spoil. They speed to the prey. The other son is mentioned in chapter number 7, verse 3, Shirajashub. Shirajashub. A remnant shall return. And then there's another son, and his name is Emmanuel. And that means God with us. And this is a type of Emmanuel when he shows up in Matthew chapter number 1. In Isaiah chapter number 7, verse 14, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. She was a virgin until she was married and had a son. Matthew took that scripture. This is important now, because this gets into Bible colleges and where they mess up young men. She was a virgin till she was married and had a son. But in Matthew chapter number 1, the Lord Jesus Christ is born of a virgin. And that virgin, according to what Matthew says, the prophecy came from Isaiah 7:14. So as far as Matthew was concerned, the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And my friend, she was a virgin after Christ was born, for she had no relations with a man. That which is in you is of the Holy Ghost, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Look carefully at it now. Look carefully at it. Verse 18, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. So they're there. The names, the children are born, and they're all for signs and wonders. Now watch the way this thing develops here. Look at verse number 19, Isaiah 8. And when they shall say unto thee, seek unto them that hath familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Now look at this. They want God's guidance. They want understanding from the Lord. Southern tribes of Judah. They've got a good prophet. They've got Isaiah. This is God's man, no question. But they won't listen to him. Isaiah is trying to prophesy to Ahaz, the king of Judah. He won't listen to him. Ahaz continues to trust the Assyrians. And so they get into signs, they get into necromancy, they get into wizards and witches, and that's how they get into communication. When you make a league with the devil, you take what the devil has to offer when it comes to spiritual things. Now listen carefully. An awful lot of people tonight want to know what's going to happen. They're not sure. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know who's going to happen. You understand me? They don't know what's going to happen. And as this thing continues to get worse, they may start resorting to spiritism and all forces, all kinds of occultism. Why? Because the Antichrist is satanic from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And all of this Satanism, witchcraft, New Age movement, and all of this stuff, they're all of the same spirit. They may have different names that relate to some specific thing they're doing, but it's all the same spirit. Can you see the text here? Take this and project it right up into the future, the second coming of Christ. And there we are tonight. Who are we putting our trust in? Who are we looking to? What about the doctor, preacher? We use the doctor. We use medication. We use anything that God gives us. But we put our trust in the Lord. And that's the way it has to be. I'll be alive tomorrow because the Lord God chooses for me to be alive tomorrow. That's absolutely how we must approach day after day. I've lived long enough in this world to say something to you tonight. And that is, I have never seen a time like this before. There's a lot of people that are trying, that are saying that this is it, that this, we're right on the verge of the coming of the Lord. I hope we are. I hope the Lord comes back. I hope He comes back soon. Like I say, I've never seen anything like this before. This causes me to wonder, what's going on here? What's happening? It's getting dark out there. Look at Isaiah 8. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish. And they shall be driven to darkness. When they refuse the light, they go to darkness. A study has come out of Germany. And the Germans are pretty smart people, thorough people. And that study says that you can transmit this COVID-19 by breathing. Breathing. A study came from MIT. MIT says that the COVID-19 virus can be transmitted by sneezing, by the droplets that come out of your mouth. Here's the sinister part. You can be infected with the COVID-19 virus and show no symptoms whatsoever, yet you can infect other people. This is why they call for social distancing. This is why they want you to be a separate of 6 feet or so. It's because you don't know if you're carrying that virus right now. And you can give it to someone who can carry it home to their grandparents or to their mother and father. It's dark, folks. That's darkness. That's insecurity. That's not knowing what's going to happen. Has it driven you to your knees yet? Are you calling on the name of the Lord? I may not make it. God may allow me to go through this. I may come down with it. I may come down with it. I'm not exempt from suffering. I may come down with it and I may be gone. I may leave this world. But I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Don't make a league with the devil. Don't join up and sign up with somebody that's going to offer you a temporary fix that's going to pull you away from God. Put your trust in the Lord tonight, and He will not fail you. Father, in Thy name we pray. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.